Good evening, world. This is the podcast Assafras, and your host is Laura Cattell. Welcome back. Yesterday was one of those wonderful days where the inspiration just hits me. I utilize the book maybe a little bit, and then I go extrapolating across time and space and have a wonderfully wild adventure. But because I was preoccupied with the series of enlightenments and spurred to action as I was in a moment of inspiration, I did not give that little portion of the book we went over yesterday nearly enough of its due importance. And it really is due importance. And I'm going to remind why the importance, and it's very simply. He gets asked the question all the time, Mike, what about, you know, if we're all infinite souls, what about the people that have come since when the Earth had just started and mankind was still crawling out of the primordial ooze, so to speak? There were only maybe a couple hundred thousand humans on Earth, and now there's like close to 8 billion. How do you explain that? He explains it very simply. Infinity does not just stretch to the forward in front of us, it also stretches to behind us and backwards into time. To put that in layman's terms, when you are pure energy, you can decide, I'd like to be a 5-year-old girl during the time of Genghis Khan. Or, I'd like to be a middle-aged person sometime in the year 3042. It goes both ways. And that right there really does bend the mind, even if only slightly, but significantly enough. It's infinity. As we've all seen the infinite loop, it always ends in itself. Quite a few movies have been done on this. If you could see around the curve of forever, you would end up right back where you started. Because it just becomes an infinite loop. So if you can go forwards in time, you can also certainly go backwards in time. Because it's infinity. It's all happening at once, and yet it's not. That's what makes the complexity such a marvel, when you really sit back to try and grasp it. I mean, physically, your human mind can't. It lacks the capacity. This avatar that you get born into lacks that capacity. You, your pure energetic self, yeah, fine. You can do that all day long. When you go back to being energy, and you return to being the energy and the God, and you're just waiting to go back and do another term in this illusion we call reality again. Have another go at it. Get born. Come with all these amazingly intense emotions. You get to feel earth, feel wind, feel the spray on your face, the sun, rain. What it feels like to slam a car door. Even the drudgery of going into an office. You sit in a chair, you do mindless tasks, you do tasks. Not even that is something that you do in your energy. We come here to experience life. Life has good, life has bad. And I said this before, and I'll say it again, I'll keep saying it, and probably until the day I die. I'm a context person. In order to know how good things can get, you have to see how bad they can be. And a lot of times you just really have to truly appreciate how bad it can be for yourself, for you to truly appreciate and value the good when it's really, really good. And so I wanted to go back over this part with slight reverence and a little slower. And it started with children and their thoughts, but I'm going to go about halfway in because we just covered that part. So back to the point, children are not brand new souls, right? When you're incarnating into this body that you get born into, the soul that you are is not brand new, even though the child, the creation of life that harbors the soul is brand new, the soul inside is not. So putting that back in context, back to the point, children are not brand new souls. We are all ancient, adventure-loving gladiators who rode into time and space, knowing full well the settings of the stage that we chose in each lifetime, and with brilliant reasons for choosing as we did. Some know that they might have a short lifetime. I'm going to highlight this in your head. Yet never has the length of a life been directly proportional to its quality. Moreover, with eternity as the backdrop from which we come and go, the duration of any lifetime becomes hugely secondary to all else. What matters most is the adventure itself. And the ultimate adventure is always the one that leads us to love. Why might a life be chosen that could end abruptly in violence? Well, with nothing to lose, since we're eternal beings, the answer must lie in either the adventure that life would give us, or the adventure it would make possible for others. Perhaps we allow ourselves to live on a stage where we might be violated if it creates circumstances in which the perpetrator finally understands the grotesque folly of their ways and at last begins healing. Or perhaps we may allow ourselves to stray into harm's way so that others might not have to. Maybe we choose it to help others and ourselves to understand the mental anguish that often leads to and comes from violence. Or perhaps it would be for the shocking wake-up call it would provide to witnesses and to those distantly aware of what happened, so that they might pay closer attention to their own thoughts, words, actions, and resulting consequences. And I added yesterday, it doesn't even necessarily need to be a lesson that you need for this lifetime. Maybe it's one that you need for your next one. Maybe it's a holdover from your last one. There's multiple universes. What if you go from this body into another body on another planet in another time frame? And you needed the lesson you learned here to help you out there. You can't know that. Not here, not as you are. You came here to experience being human. Uniquely, beautifully, imperfectly perfect human. Flawed and beautiful. Sometimes disturbing, many times amazing. It stretches the mind, the limits to which we push ourselves, and the lengths we've gone in such a relatively short time frame. We came here to experience life. Because if you're coming from that other side, and that you know that's just like playing a video game, if you die in the game, then you're fine. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go jump off a bridge just to see what it feels like. But take appreciation for that which you have here. And that you are alive. That in itself is magical. So we're going to start in on the heels of that, right? Children and their thoughts. We're going to start in with The Littlest Heroes. But before I do that, my shout out to the restaurant industry, all my guys and gals out there in Foodland who are really suffering right now. And I'm just going to take a moment here and just let people know, because maybe they don't. Restaurants aren't incapable of hiring right now. What they're incapable of is getting anybody to respond to ads. Nobody wants to go back to work. And the restaurants that do, that are open, that have staff, one person is probably doing the job of three. Because they're only allowed to have so many people in the restaurant because of whatever restrictions are going on in the state they're in. And on the flip side of that, people are putting up signs offering bonuses. They can't even get anybody to respond to the ads. And I'm very afraid of the plague of sadness that seems to be crashing upon the storied history of restaurants in America. And it's very sad. So to all my restaurant guys and gals out there, I know it's hurting right now. It's hurting a lot. But I promise you, there is not a challenge you can't overcome, even when it might seem hopeless. So no matter what it is you're facing right now, I'm begging you, pleading, please don't do something you can't take back. Don't quit. Please don't quit. Okay, so Littlest Heroes. Because the explanations just given go against everything we've ever been taught, as well as all that our physical senses show us about how our lives unfold, let's drill down into a hypothetical example. Let's say that you have an ancient soul friend, and the two of you are deeply in love. A love deeper than anything you've ever experienced in this lifetime. You have lived lifetime after lifetime together, frolicking in the jungles of time and space, loving the same kind of adventures and learning the same kind of lessons until your best friend begins going down a few paths without you. These paths hold absolutely no interest for you, and although they obviously appeal to your friend at one point, over time, they have left him confused, disoriented, and afraid. Very afraid. You're horrified because, life after life, his confusion grows to the point that he doesn't even recognize you anymore. And worse, You see that he begins resorting to anger, rage, and violence as a means to combat his fear, as a coping mechanism to deal with the terror he now perpetually feels. And you want nothing more than to help. For this desire of yours to be of service, to help spark his healing and recovery, let's say that it's then shown to you that you could help by being a child of his in an upcoming life. You're also shown that, should you choose this, at the moment of your birth, when your eyes first meet as a child and parent, there will be a spark of recognition, a connection, and a powerful surge of love between you, although neither of you will know exactly what it means. Nonetheless, it will be a surge so great that your long-lost friend wouldn't have felt anything remotely like it in many, many lifetimes. It's also shown to you that even if you make this choice, your friend will still be terrified by his life and prone to continued fits of rage and violence. Some of this violence may even be directly squared at you. You see, however, that should your friend hurt his only beloved, you, he will finally understand the destructive nature of his behavior, leading to a long overdue realization that anger and violence are never a solution and only make matters worse. Then, and only then, will your friend's healing take off at warp speed. If this was the case, hypothetically, and you were given the opportunity to reach out and be a lifeline, would you volunteer? Would you accept the assignment? I think you would, especially since you'd be presented with this option from the zenith of your awareness, fully seeing the entire spectrum of reality, with total understanding of life's beauty and your eternal being. Grasping that you'd have absolutely nothing to lose, you see that you could live yet another 7 trillion lifetimes if you wanted to. And knowing the immense potential for gain that may come from such a choice. Now, of course, it would be a choice, and you wouldn't have to participate. But if you didn't, you'd have to agree with me that if your friend proceeded with that lifetime, and if there was the violation of another child, it would be because someone else had volunteered. Someone else would have had to offer to be that lifeline, because the alternative is to believe that such a violation was a random accident. And such an alternative trashes almost all of the other deductions we reached in Chapter 1, which would totally negate that thought forms matter and that we are spiritual beings who create our own realities. That's a lot to unpack. Before I get any farther. Like, wow. So that went way deep. But he's asking you to see it from the perspective of, you know, how would you feel about someone if you had spent, let's say, 250 lifetimes growing to know each other? Frolicking, happy, like literally the honeymoon stage for 250 lifetimes plus. How endeared would you be to that person? Right? And then, for some reason, one day, you know, maybe they took a turn you weren't expecting, going down a road they might not have expected to go down, wanted to learn a couple new things, okay. But then they learned those new things and they forgot. Forgot the the love they used to have, forgot what it meant, and allowed fear in. And you're just sitting on the sidelines, begging to help. Knowing that each time you incarnate as a human being, you come back to the ether, the other side, the great beyond, the energy, whatever you want to call it, the universe. You're sitting on that side. And they ask you, if you could reincarnate this one lifetime as his kid, and in return, he'd go back to being his loving, kind, gentle, jovial self that he had been previously throughout the rest of his lifetimes, if that was the trade-off, what would you do? Even if that meant you got abused as a child. It's just one lifetime to you from the other side of the perspective. And unfortunately, coming from this side of the proverbial flesh and bone, we don't remember those decisions. Until we hop back out and we become energy again. Because otherwise, with the knowing, it taints our reactions. It stunts our appreciations. Because when we do that, everything gets to be brand new. So when we come into this body, we don't know. Now, you can go hire a hypnotherapist, any decent one right now, and you can go have them take you and regress you back and go look. But every time you're a child, you get to experience things brand new. And that's where magic is, man. Can you imagine what you felt the first time that you figured out you could walk? Like, what? These stubby little things under my butt? And I can make them move when I tell them to? And I can go faster? Yes! So just try and understand it from that perspective. All right, take the person you love the most in this life and then magnify that feeling times 1,000. That's the perspective he's asking you to come from here. You reincarnate in just for one lifetime. You endure some of this stuff, and he realizes the error of his ways, and he goes back to being the loving, kind, gentle, frolicking, fun-loving energy ball that he used to be. For however many trillions of lifetimes go on after that. One lifetime in exchange for an infinite number of lifetimes. You really tell yourself, or me, that you wouldn't take that? Come on now. All right. So, last one before we head off for the night. So, with understanding comes power. This is very heavy material, but again, I want to erase any and all question marks you still have from the tapestry of your life's understandings. I am trying to explain something. I am not justifying it. Just as a doctor who explains AIDS or cancer is not justifying these diseases. But by explaining them, they're educating and empowering those who hear their message, which is my greatest hope for what I teach. Furthermore, my explanations don't remotely imply that we shouldn't help those who have suffered at the hands of others. Sometimes people choose adversity partly to spark awareness in bystanders. And suddenly, in these bystanders' hearts, there's an awakening of compassion and empathy to reach out not only to the ones suffering, but also to others they love or had ignored before. Nothing is by chance. Nothing is random. There is always meaning, purpose, healing, and love. I don't want to go off too much on a tangent here, so I invite you to visit the Ask Mike section of the tut.com website if these kinds of insights interest or trouble you. There's probably been over 100 questions asked that I responded to on the site, many of them pertaining to war, catastrophe, and suicide, in addition to those concerning happiness, love, and manifesting change. In particular, you'll see that there's one section called War and Disasters. If you click through on the tsunami link, I talk about how we can grasp the mechanics of mass events, such as the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami or the 2010 Haiti earthquake. This was published before the really massive tidal wave that hit Japan and caused the Fukushima disaster. I'm pretty sure that would have also made it in here. With understanding, you need not go through life thinking that bad things happen to good people. While that belief may seem comforting at times, it's just a temporary band-aid keeping you from seeing the overall picture of life's magnificence and from discovering your full power. Note from the universe. To those who ask why bad stuff happens in a magical world with a loving universe, I ask, does it? Why do so many in time and space draw conclusions based upon the perceptions of their physical senses alone? As if your physical senses have ever been useful in explaining the ethereal. As if there could have somehow been a mistake. And as if they haven't yet grasped, based upon the effortless possession of their own, that life must be eternal. Yeah, wow, the universe. And we will pause there. Heavy stuff. This was not kitty hour. No. Went through some heavy stuff. But those are the kinds of bigger picture extrapolations that you really need to step out, not just the 50 yard, not just the mile, 1,000 miles, 100 million miles away, and then take a look back. Because from the perspective of energy, and you have an infinite number of times to reincarnate, to sacrifice one incarnation or another incarnation, to learn some of the tougher truths, knowing that when you were done with it, even if that particular time on Earth was only a few many years, maybe a few many hours, right? Coming from the perspective of simply pure energy, it's a no-brainer, because you don't have anything to lose. although coming from this flesh and bone side, because you're so close to it, it's like, no, I really don't want to get in that car crash. Mm-mm. No, I don't want to sign up to do that when I'm younger. What the hell? Are you crazy? Differences in perspective. And it's so important. Alright, context. Now I'm going to throw in a bonus today. Alright. A lot of people will ask spiritual teachers, teachers in general, why can't you just give me the answer? Why can't you just give me the answer? I mean, the tale goes that the best teachers show you where to look, not what to see. They're waiting for the light to go on in your head. And simply, it's knowledge. Knowledge is the one thing nobody can take from you. Not just the knowledge of the things that you learned on a page, but the skill you developed staying up those nights, poring over books and papers and notes. It develops your integrity, your constitution, your character. Those are valuable. It develops the confidence in you when you know. Not think, not read, know. Without having to ask anybody else. When you know how to build a business. When you know how to pick a winning stock. When you know how to flip a house. How to orchestrate. When you know a thing, it doesn't matter if you lose it all. Because you know how to do it again. No one can give you that knowing. You must earn it. And because no one can give you that knowing, nobody can give you the sense of satisfaction, pride, accomplishment that comes from when you do it yourself. You're beaming with pride. That's the stuff that propels mankind forward. It cannot be given. It must be earned. And so we will come back tomorrow with depression and unpleasant emotions. So, fair warning, tomorrow's not looking exactly any more chipper either. So go ahead and get in a little shake, do a little wiggle. And we will do our 2-minute brain break. And I apologize for the sounds out back. I had contractors coming through my house again today, and they were gluing some things, and the glue exudes a very powerful chemical smell. And so I have to have the windows open in order to vent that out, and I don't really have any other way of doing so. So, my apologies for the sounds out the window. Hopefully tomorrow, smell will be gone. Everything will be groovy. So, alright. Oh, that was my bad. Alright. Go ahead and close your eyes. And just take a nice, slow, deep breath in. And Let's take another nice, luxurious, deep breath in. And just be aware of the moment you find yourself in. The furniture, the walls, the dimensions, sounds outside, sounds inside. Feel of the clothes that you're wearing. And just be thankful and smile. That you're here to be aware of all of these amazing things. Even if they only seem ordinary. And breathe. Alright guys, doing some heavy stuff this last chapter, understanding adversity. I'll be honest, I didn't think we were going to get that heavy when we started this chapter. I was wrong. And we will not be starting tomorrow with exactly the happiest subtitle either, Depression and Unpleasant Emotions. Although, it's probably very uncomfortable for most people to talk about. Hopefully it will at least be enlightening. So, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up. Thank you. I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your evening. This is the podcast, Sassafras. Good night.